When I think of Jesus, I think he doesn't, check this out. He never tells them to repent until after the healing. The repentance comes after the healing. And I think we miss that. I think Christians and churches miss that. That he says repent after the healing. All right, so one thing I don't think I've ever done on the show is express my absolute love for tacos. So right now we're gonna get some tacos with one of my favorite people, Dale. What do you think is the most what would you say is the, I don't know how to word this, the most common misconception people have about doing ministry? And we say ministry, we kind of know what that means. I mean, what does ministry mean to you?
I mean, all ministry really is at the end of the day is doing things underneath the empowerment of Jesus that lives in you. Okay. Whether it's little, whether it's big, whether it's corporate, whether it's personal. I mean, at the end of the day, ministry is the life of Christ flowing through you to others at some form.
Okay.
I mean, at its most basic level.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking about the official piece of church ministry, we're talking about the vocational piece of ministry.
Yeah. To be a professional Christian and say you're doing ministry, you gotta, there's some lines you gotta be drawn into.
Sure.
What do you think is like a common misconception? What do people think, like, hey, I'm gonna go, this is what I hear all the time. I'm called. I feel called to go into the ministry. Or called. And you're like, I know you. You're not called.
Yeah, really?
You're like, come on, you're called. You're just making this up. Okay, you have this call, and then you're gonna go spend 4 years at some school. To me, it just seems so bass backwards.
Well, it's only backwards if you're not following the right person who told you to do it, right?
Okay, right.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, to be the best professional Christian is the guy that follows Jesus the closest. It doesn't matter about your degrees, it doesn't matter about, you know what I mean, how far you climbed up the church corporate ladder, if there is one, you know, it's about, are you following him, doing exactly what he wants you to do? Like, what it says in Ephesians is that, you know, Ephesians is a book of the Bible, and the first three chapters are solely dedicated to who we are in Christ. And in that, they say, like, because of what Jesus did, this is who we get to be. In the midst of that, there are, like, killer verses in the second chapter that says, like, well, we were, like, dead in our sin, in our transgression, in our failure, in our brokenness. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ Jesus. And all that's saying is that when we couldn't do for ourselves, God did for us. And because he did that, we've got nothing other than what he created. You know, like, we're abandoned without him. So in the midst of that, it goes on to say that he's created you now in Christ for good things. And that's kind of where the calling flows out of. It falls out of this place where we had nothing and God chose us for a specific purpose. But in order to know that, we got to know him. And it all has to be kind of received. We can't try to do it in our own assumption. We've got to check it with the big guy first and then roll with him as he kind of does it through us. And so the chapter two kind of comes to a reprieve where it says, like, you're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. So in Christ, he created you for good things, not bad things, but he prepared them before you knew about it. So we can just cruise into them with him. So I think that is the center of calling, which why people can both be comfortable with it and challenged by it, because that's all God working it out in us and through us.
Jesus says that basically I don't do anything without the Father telling me to do it.
Yep.
Like, there's an account in one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, one of the accounts, that the disciples wake up in the morning, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is basically like someone who was there is writing, like, this is what happened, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we woke up and we couldn't find Jesus.
Yeah, right.
We were up late
doing this ministry with people.
Yeah.
And they woke up. Having a lot of fun healing people. He's probably pretty tired, but.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Where's he at? Mm-hmm. They wake up. Mm-hmm. And they're like, dude, Jesus is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're tripping.
Mm-hmm.
And so they start freaking out and looking all around. I mean, I'm reading all this into it, but you know, then they find him. He's like off.
Yeah, off praying.
And he's like, you know, he's like a minute away, and he's like under a tree as I'm praying. It's like, you know, he retreated.
Yeah.
Like he was very intentional with going to the Father.
No, sure. Obviously, Jesus had something going for him that we don't have for us, right? His divinity. He's a complete man, but he's also completely a God. You know, he's God, the Son of God. So his divinity,
but if
I think he had access to all of the gifts the Holy Spirit had. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he had them all. All the ones that we get pieces of, he had them all.
Which and is why. Still needed to go away.
Yeah,
and
still, absolutely. But the thing and about still the church. Sweat
and still was not sure if he should be dying for us.
Well, he was sure. He just was like, hey, you sure there ain't. Is there, I mean, you can make a plan B. I know how creative you are. Yeah, exactly.
He had a moment he of was like, pretty, yeah. Yo, does this cup really need to pass yeah. the B?
Can I pass does this cup
really
or not?
Need, yeah. Right.
I'm about to be hurting a lot.
Yeah. I think these are the beautiful poetic things about Jesus and sure. about following Jesus that we miss sometimes. You know, and I think
absolutely.
Not and we
you
as
can
believers
miss it. Absolutely.
But then also people looking like in, yeah. they don't see that.
Yeah, they don't see the beauty.
They don't see this beautiful like dependency on the Creator.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how much more beautiful? Who doesn't want to be like in tune with the force of life?
Yeah, sure.
Essentially, that's what God is, right?
Yeah, I mean, specifically life.
Yeah.
Capital L and everything.
Who doesn't want to like, I want to be in tune with that.
Yeah, sure.
That's all we're trying to.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to be in tune with that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The 4K over here. The lime drizzle.
The 4K lime drizzle. The Michael Bay lime drizzle.
You know, now is the person who comes up to me with ambition and drive saying, I've got a call to go preach to thousands. Do I think we should walk them on the stage right then and there? No. Am I afraid to? I mean, I'm not afraid of thousands, so I probably can't do that. So it's not in my power to do it. But what I believe is pretty biblical is that if someone has a call, it's like they've been given, you know, a responsibility to nurture this one thing, you know? Yeah. And if they do this one thing well, God will open up doors to do other things. And it could get bigger and it could get bigger. You know, Andy Stanley's probably a pretty good example of that. You know, someone who just started volunteering and so many people realize that, man, this guy is a great way of explaining things to people.
Right.
In a way that they understand and it makes them better at the end for it, you know?
Well, and he's uniquely qualified because he grew up in the church. He grew up in this mega church. Mm-hmm. So for him to come out and create what he's done with North Point, which is very unique, or was,
The big thing about our calling in Christ is that it's meant to, at some level, be comfortable with us. You know, it fits us. You know, God doesn't create us to be uncomfortable with ourselves. You know?
No.
I don't think that's Jesus talking. If suddenly you feel like you're who you're meant to be and you don't like yourself, I think that's maybe probably, you know, right. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've noticed in my 20 years of doing ministry that the more you get to know Jesus, the more people like themselves. The more it's okay to be unique, though, you know.
Me and my wife are in the middle of doing something. We're trying to start a ministry.
Do it, baby.
That we feel called.
You're trying to professionalize your Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
You better put that in there, man. That's really good.
Yeah, right, exactly. Eat this for lunch. But me and my wife were talking, and I told her that our primary focus, the one thing we can't get wrong, is we got to stay connected to Jesus.
Sure.
I mean, that is our primary function. And we got to love each other very well.
Yeah.
And everything else is secondary to those two things. The minute anything else becomes more important than any of those, either of those two things, that's the moment it's no longer a call. It's of our own work. Why doesn't Sunday morning ever have like this? Hey guys, I was gonna preach this message, but wasn't really feeling like Jesus was behind this one. So we're gonna stretch worship today. We're just gonna worship God today. I didn't really have anything for you guys. Could you imagine?
That
pastor, I would be all over that.
I mean, that does happen. I think for a lot of the creatives out there who don't like to be time driven, you know, it's Like, yeah. Oh, don't force me into a 55-minute box. You
right.
know?
Right.
How am I feeling it?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the beauty of. It's kind of like, I think, the gift and the curse of our faith is that it is really like, when you look at all the denominations, it can feel like this sense of great divide. But then you also think of, well, it's also allowing people in their own unique ways to experience God in the way that they experience God. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite beautiful that mm-hmm. we have all these kind of mm-hmm. groups and stuff.
Obviously, it just comes back to what's at the center of it. And at its core, what Christianity is it's a movement of people finding Christ Jesus and being built in Christ Jesus and sharing Christ Jesus with everybody around, you know, with the people around them. Yeah. I mean, you want to be in Christ, you know, like I think the New Testament says a lot, you know, they were trying to make a statement. And if you look at how many times it says in Christ versus Christ in us, uh-huh. it's like over 200-4, I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the gospel writers, you know, who wrote the New Testament are like, you want to be in him, and to be in him is to be with him a lot.
Right.
You know?
Well, we're not, I think we when we talk about this, we can make it seem like we got to fill our Jesus juice up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
And my Jesus juice is low, I got to fill it up.
Yeah, sure.
But what you're saying, and that's the difference between Christ in us and us in Christ.
Mm-hmm, right.
Is that Jesus is not, he's not pouring his Jesus juice in us. We are like a leaf in the ocean, you know what I'm saying?
Of this tree, yeah.
Just
yeah.
soaking it in, mm-hmm, really. Mm-hmm, and that's mm-hmm. the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. So how do we, as believers, how do we better communicate that? Because I feel like some people would go, well, I think sign me up for
this
that.
Is, okay,
I like
can
that.
Can I give you a little shout out? I think in our own way, we do a little bit of what you've been doing on the Most High Show. I think you have chosen to be transparent mm-hmm. and to say, God is God, I'm not.
Yeah.
But I've encountered him at a high level and I want others to as well. And so I'm willing to show you the steps that I took to get there or talk yeah. to people who are about making people essentially ways to, you know, steps to get there. You try to help people who want to get people to God do that
yeah.
because he's worth knowing.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have in you a discontent, maybe is a good word for it, of for people who miss out on all that God has to offer because they get tripped up on the people to get there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Is talking about, hey man, let's talk about him. Let's talk about what Jesus can really do in a life and not a life that grew up a goody-goody or a life that grew up in the worst ghetto there is. It's like, it didn't matter.
Right.
Talking about Jesus and what Jesus can do, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the hardest thing maybe for me in my 20 years is getting over this concept of favoritism. You know, humans are wired to like,
yeah.
to like try to think they know what this means. You know, we're always interpreting our environment and people, and I think what God has going for him that we have to tap into if we're ever gonna be successful is that he's not showing favoritism.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking to the person right where they're at, speaking
yeah.
their language.
Yeah.
He has a plan for them specifically, you know, and it's something that if they follow at the end, they'll feel fulfillment in.
Oh, man. What's this one right here? Is this cherry?
This is strawberry.
Yeah, can you give me one of those?
One of those?
Yeah.
Chocolate, right?
Yeah.
I want some of the chocolate.
Coconut or strawberries?
I'll do strawberry.
Coconut dipped in chocolate, strawberry dipped in chocolate, cookies and cream, pineapple, pecan, caramel, bubblegum, mango, piña colada.
Cookies and cream sounds good.
Cookies and cream?
Yeah, cookies and cream sounds good. Thank you.
Okie dokie.
This is the thing, man. It's like, you can't look tough while you're eating ice cream.
No.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. That's tough. Yeah. There you go.
Power walk away, man. Think about it.
Yeah, okay, huh?
Yeah, rip it. You got to, like, you just transition into steak mode. You, like, put your foot in the ground. You're like, give me some leverage on this thing, man.
As you eat a strawberry popsicle.